The gateless barrier, case three. Gutai raises one finger. Whenever Gutai was asked a question, he simply raised one finger. One day a visitor asked Gutai's attendant what his master preached. The boy raised a finger. Hearing of this, Gutai cut off the boy's finger with a knife. As he ran from the room, screaming with pain, Gutai called to him. When he turned his head, Gutai raised a finger. The boy was suddenly enlightened. When Gutai was about to die, he said to his assembled monks, "I received this one finger Zen from Tenryu. I used it all my life, but never used it up." With this, he entered into his eternal rest. There is a backstory to the case about how Gutai came to receive his one finger Zen from Tenryu. Apparently, as a young monk, he practiced for a long time as a hermit, sitting by himself alone in a hut. And for a long time, he was deeply settled into his zazen and his solitary practice. But one day, a nun on pilgrimage came to his hut. And the nun had said, her name was, translates as True World. The world came knocking at his door. The nun stuck her head inside the hut and said to him, "If you can say a single word of Zen, I'll come in." Gutai was just dumbfounded and didn't know what to say. He had been sitting in this perfect silence day in and day out, but when the world came knocking, he didn't know how to respond. So the nun left. And this left him feeling very discombobulated. He realized that something was wrong. His sitting was deep and satisfying, but he didn't know how to answer the world's call. And he was about to give it all up, get up and leave and try to go back to the monastery or find a teacher to give him an answer. Before he left, he had a dream. And in the dream, the deity said, "Don't go anywhere. A teacher will come to you." That's an interesting dream. Certainly, the world had just come to him. He didn't know what to do with it, but apparently he was going to get a second chance. But it's basically right that whatever answer he needed is going to be found where he was, not by going somewhere else. And sure enough, after a certain amount of time, Tenryu, a teacher on pilgrimage himself, came by the hut. This time Gutai just quickly welcomed him in and sat him down and told him the whole story of the nun and how distressed he was. And listening to the story, Tenryu didn't say a word. He simply raised one finger. And with that, Gutai was enlightened and received the one finger Zen that he passed on to his monks all his life. Uh, How do we understand the one finger? We might, in a sense, translate it as just this, just this. Where what we do is bring together an experience of the absolute with whatever is happening in this moment, in the world in this moment, right? In our life in this moment. It's just this. The finger, perhaps, is an embodiment. It's a thing. It's a bringing something forth as a gesture, as an action. It's not staying inside, right? It's not a simple focusing inward on a state of consciousness and identifying any particular state of consciousness with the absolute. But whatever it is, we identify it with something out in the world, an action, doing something, raising a finger. Now, that's not hard to understand or to experience to a certain point. And Gutai's young attendant probably felt he had some idea what the teacher meant by doing this, you know, year in and year out. And when the visitor asked him, "What does your master teach?" he thought he was conveying it perfectly naturally, showing him the one finger. Yeah? Yet it's a kind of understanding that is mostly just an imitation, mostly secondhand. I wouldn't say 100%. I think that most of us get it to a certain degree. But Gutai felt that it was shallow and inauthentic. So he cut off his finger. Now, we don't have to believe that Gutai actually cut off the boy's finger any more than we have to believe that the second patriarch actually cut off his arm standing in the snow outside of Bodhidharma's cave. But Zen does have a fondness for this kind of bloody imagery of self-sacrifice, killing of the self. In the present company, we won't refer to about killing any cats. But that imagery is common enough in Zen that somehow you have to be driven to this extreme in order to have realization. But I think we can think about it in terms of true world coming to confront our Zazen. When the world comes around, we may indeed lose a finger. We might lose an eye. We might get sick. We might lose our livelihood. Might remember when Joko in Everyday Zen talks about what is the meaning of enlightenment. She says, "Would it be okay with you if you lost your arms and your legs?" Right? Well, here the boy just lost a finger. He got off easy. But the point is not so much the content of the loss, but it's, can you see just this in what's ever happening? Can you see it even in the loss of your finger, even in the thing that feels like pain or catastrophe? See, it's a commonplace that people will talk about meditation as being just this moment. And we all agree and nod our heads, but actually we're very fussy about the moment we want to be one with. We want our zazen to create or cultivate a certain kind of moment. And when we get to that moment, then we'll say, yeah, this is it. I'll be one with this moment. This is the absolute because it's calm and clear and I feel pretty good. So this is it. But what about when they cut off your finger? Is that still it? In one way or another, when Gutai called after the boy and then held up his finger, he was able to really see that one finger had no content. It was everything. It was just this, just this. A simple lesson, but not an easy lesson. But we need to ask ourselves, how will we respond when the true world comes calling?